718 will be our song of invitation after our lesson tonight. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 593. And after this song, Gene, would you lead us in a word of prayer? Thank you.
To the work, we are servants of God. Let us follow the path that our Master has trod. With the balm of His counsel, our strength to renew, let us do with our might what our hands find to do. Salvation is free.
allowing us to enjoy it so much. We now ask your blessings on those that have mentioned here this evening, that you will bless them and that only you can, that you will help to give them a long life if it be thy will. We pray that you will look after them and look after those you care for, that they too may have the blessings that only you can give. We pray for all things that you have given us, and we pray that, and thank you so very much for the love that you have for us and sending your Son into this world to die on that cruel cross of Calvary, that we might have hope of being with you someday. We pray for this great country also, Lord, and for the leaders and the people who look after us and care for us, that you will give them the wisdom and the knowledge to do those things that they should do at the time, and that we might look more stronger to you each day of our lives. We pray now that you will go with us and be with us throughout our lives, and when this day is over, we'll be with you someday in heaven. Be that way in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You know, I always base lessons on the needs of people. And not that you particularly need this lesson, because you do love each other and talk about the love that you have for each other as much as any place that I've ever been. At the same time, what does it mean to love one another? And what does the Bible tell us about how to love each other? Jesus' own ministry was a ministry involved with the people in his day and time. And they began to wonder about the commandments that he was emphasizing that they should follow. And in Matthew, in reference to this matter, we see in Matthew chapter 22 the following statement made in verse 34. Matthew 22 at verse 34. And when the Pharisees had heard that, they put the Sadducees to silence. They were gathered together. Then one of them, who was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Notice that love is a great commandment. And that love being a great commandment, it is a commandment of how to do it. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, all thy being, and all thy mind. When you think about God, you want to think about a love for God. A way to praise God in the way that he loves us and cares for us, and how that he sent his only begotten Son that he might illustrate to us the way of life that each one of us should follow. Fortunately, in the pages of the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we have description of what love really is. And we can examine ourselves as to whether we have this kind of love by looking at the traits of love that are listed there by Paul. He says in 1 Corinthians 13 at 1, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love endeth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own,
is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. We know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know, even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. If we have a way of life of looking at these particular things, we would have a long time that we would have to meditate on each one of us, because our view of each other may be that we show that love or we don't. We show that love and kindness or we don't. But the idea is for us to examine ourselves. For you see, love envieth long and is kind. It envieth not. It vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Love is a way of life that is a way that is demonstrated in such a way as to have a faith that in removing a mountain, it would be removed for us. We want to serve God and do His right way. And when He says that, He says it does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not our own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. When we think about evil and hurts that be done to others, we're thinking a way that is not a way of love. But to think a way of love is to behold them in such a way as to bear and believe and hope and endure and never fail. This is a way of life that He describes love. And when we practice that way of life, we go back to Matthew 21 and we see that what is said there in regard to this matter is a way to love God and a way to love our fellow man. And that's what is noted there in Matthew 22:34. Which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." That doesn't mean that we would not love others in such a way as described in 1 Corinthians 13 as never failing. But it does mean for us to love God. When we think of God, we think of His height, His majesty, His rule, His power. We think of Him in His wonderful way. And so with all our heart and soul and all our mind, we think of God in such a wonderful way. We love Him and care about Him. And we know that He loves us. And the second, He said, the commandments is likened unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In loving others as we love ourselves, as listed there in Matthew 22 and at verse 39. We are people who really can be in heaven with God. We can be judged as the Lord and as faithful servants, as people who adore Him and appreciate Him. We are people who can find ourselves enjoying that relationship where love never fails. He says regarding prophecies that are given, they are prophecies that sometime will fail. tongues that they speak with, the languages of various people, will cease. And where there's knowledge, it will vanish away. But love will be that which is not in part. Love will be that which continues and goes on. For when that which is perfect is come, that which in part will be done away. We think of God's love and we think of His way to offer His own Son, assuring His own Son that He would bring Him back from the dead, from the grave. And Jesus went to the grave with that idea in mind that His Father would bless Him as a result of that way. The book of Hebrews very vocally talks about that in Hebrews 5. And I have found that through the years, we brethren have used the passage of Scripture that's there in Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, in a mighty way. Though we were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered. But the real heart of that is found in verse 6 and 7. As he saith also in another place, thou art the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who is the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, that's deep request unto the heaven the Father, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, he respected what God's will was. He prayed to the Heavenly Father about that situation, and he prayed from the depth of his being that if there were another way, some other way, somehow, you know everything and you know another way, let it come to pass. But the Father did not let that come to pass. This was the greatest love that he thought mankind would ever see and ever recognize. The gift of his own Son. And then knowing the rest of the story, as the late Paul Harvey used to say, that he would reach into that tomb and restore his life and cause the angel to move the stone away, and Jesus would walk out. Grave clothes would be left there for someone else. He was free from death. And he offers to you and me that great hope as well. And tonight that great hope is yours and mine if we can find our way of being what he says right here, obedient to him. He became the author of eternal salvation to everyone that will obey him. We'll obey him in the love that we have for him. We will remind ourselves that each time that we have voices of words that are vulgar and not right, he is bothered by that. He's troubled by that. He knows that the love that we have in our hearts will not let us go that route. He knows that we can change that route with the love that we have in our hearts for him. And he believes that that's the case. Teaches us that's the case. And we can be different. We can be better. The same thing is true if there's a love that is had for a mate. But that love, somehow or another, just begins to wane through the years and not be what it was. It can be restored. It can be a love once again. It can be a love that never fails, always endures. Seeks all things for good. Does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. That's the way to continue that love. That's the way to be seen in that marriage, in continuing a great love that is thereby described. The Bible tells us regarding brethren, how the brethren can so love each other. That they can help each other. and help each other overcome a way of life that is vulgar and wrongdoing and not right with God nor mankind. And because of that love that God has for us, He's willing to forgive us. And in 1 John 1, when He says this in this regard, He says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Knowing that mankind would be out here and they'd have activities going on, hear words, mannerisms, see examples that are different, and they want to maybe practice some of that way of life, but they stop to think, if that's not a way of love, He can protect them from that as He cleanses them from all unrighteous thoughts, unrighteous deeds, unrighteous plans. That's what the scripture said. God will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can be different and be better. The song of invitation provided by a few months ago, to Jesus' invitation. Come to Him now as we stand and as we sing this song together, please.
Who at the door is standing, patiently drawing near, entrance with it.